paid the bills we made. Old life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed, put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, he said, Patches, I'm depending on your son to pull the family through. My son is
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Time permitting, I will try to respond to any of your text. Real quick programming note. I didn't do this in the last segment like I usually do, but Jennifer Fiddler, state representative from my neck of the woods, Silver Hill, Fairhope, this lower corner of the Eastern Shore, she'll be with us on Monday, as well as Del Jackson from WVNN. So make sure you tune in on Monday. Joining us now, we do this every Friday about this time, he is the show's returning champion. Very pleased to bring on State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Man, I am great. It is an absolutely gorgeous February day in South Alabama.
Well, this is going to seem very remedial, but people just aren't getting it. And we got to do this. Explain why we won't ever see just a simple lottery, clean lottery bill in the Alabama legislature. It's much more complicated, right?
It is much more complicated, and something that frustrated me when I first got to the legislature as well. Everybody can say they are in support of a clean lottery and nothing but a lottery, but you are correct. That will never see the floor, and that is because of the other special interests that surround this gaming concept. And so when you take those special interests and you pair them with the no gambling at all, never folks, that makes up elected officials that represent areas with those facilities, those casinos, and the no never any gambling ever people represent enough folks to keep anything from moving forward. And so in order to get a lottery on the ballot, it's going to come with all this other stuff. The question is just how clean can we make it and then still get get the people the opportunity to vote on this.
And I don't even know. I mean, yeah, I agree with the special interest part, but like, I think these Democrat members they're just representing the interest of their constituents. I mean, are what their constituents, I think, at least.
Sure. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that it's nefarious, but when you start looking at what's going on in Macon County, what's going on in Greene County, what's going on in Birmingham, what's going on, in Escambia County with PCI and others, I mean, there are areas of this state that that have these significant gaming interests. Those areas are represented by, by senators and House members who want to protect those business interests and make sure that they, continue to operate. And when you take that crowd, you put it with the no never, any lottery of any kind, folks, you can stop a clean lottery bill. And so in order to get to a lottery, unfortunately, we've got to have this other conversation as well.
Yeah, it's just because on your side of the aisle, Senator, there's always going to be a handful of members in the House and both the House and Senate who are never gamers, right? Like never gambling, no gambling. There's no virtue. It's, they have their reasons and they're always going to vote no. So people who are pro gambling got to go look for votes somewhere, and that forces them to go over here where you got to wheel and deal.
That's it. It is a game of how do you get the votes that you need to accumulate to pass your bill. And look, I got nothing, against the folks that say, hey, this is a bad idea. It's in the Constitution for a reason. There are certain negative societal aspects associated with it. All those arguments have merit and should be considered. No question about it. I am trying my best to be open-minded about this legislation. I'm not to a yes yet, and we are just going to have to see what comes out of the House.
Well, your colleague Sam Gavan was on with my buddy Dale yesterday. I think his words, not anywhere close to the 21 votes you need to get it passed.
Well, in the Senate, I would tend to agree. I mean, again, you've got to this is with any legislation, especially a constitutional amendment, you know, you've got that high threshold. This is not a simple majority. And so the vote count becomes very important in the Senate, regardless of what happens in the, you know, in the House. And if you cannot get to those votes, you don't have a bill. And so there are some folks, my colleagues, and again, many of whom I respect an awful lot, who are very principled on this issue, who say, I'm not in favor of this and I'm going to be a no. Well, you start looking through the legislature, the Senate in particular, the upper chamber, and counting backwards. And it, you know, I'm just not sure the votes are there in the Senate.
Yeah. And it's always been like a very hard vote, right? Like the times that this has got through in the past in the Senate, it wasn't easy. It took a lot. I mean, like, you had to a casino in the Wiregrass. You had to give away a casino here and there. You had to make these sort of guarantees. And then the House wants nothing to do with it. I mean, you just barely get there by the skin of your teeth in the Senate. And you go from a pleasing 35 or the three-fifths majority in a small chamber with 35 versus 105, it just seems like that's a much heavier lift.
It is, and I will tell you that my experiences with this legislation during the last quadrennium were just some of the most odious sausage-making, you know, exercises that I've seen to just try to do anything you can to get to that 21 number. And I think, you know, we'll see how that works. I'm curious to see what the debate looks like in the House. You know, when they start this legislation off, is there an opportunity to amend the bill to try to, you know, change what is originally introduced? You know, the both chambers have a way on some important pieces of legislation of trying to just ram it through. And I'm curious to see how that works in the House. Is this going to be something that leadership pushes hard and says, we're going to pass it as is, or are we going to allow amendments on it? What do those amendments look like? And what is the process downstairs? And we're just going to have to wait and see and stay tuned.
Well, tell me this, and you know, we've spent a lot of time. Now, you haven't even gaveled in. We haven't even got to state of the state. But yep. I mean, at what point do you say, guys, we're wasting our time? Let's move on, because it seems like we're getting really close to that point.
Well, and that I think is the encouraging news out of the House and from the Speaker, is that this is likely going to come up in the first couple of weeks, maybe the first 2 or 3 weeks in the House, and it's going to be a you know, an up or down, and we're going to know where we are with the House bill. You know, when Senator Marsh and Senator McClendon had legislation in the previous quadrennium, good gracious, Jeff, I felt like we were spending all of our time, you know, gnashing of teeth and wringing of hands over this gaming legislation that just didn't stand any chance of going anywhere in the House. And it just felt like it was the session on gambling. And I hope that is not what we see here. Let's, you know, let the House, you know, float its test balloon, pass its bill, don't pass its bill, but let's go ahead and get on with it and then see. So if there's a silver lining, it's that it seems that the House is going to take this up fairly early on, and then the Senate will know, are we going to have to deal with this or not?
And standing here today, Senator, going into this session, it's school choice gambling. What do you think the conversation's like, say, 3 months from now? Are we going to look back, man, it wasn't that at all. Like, I didn't see this coming. I mean, is that a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are going to be an awful lot of other important pieces of legislation that deal with ballot security, that deal with some of this woke ideology and getting that under control, whether it's, you know, libraries or archives and history or, you know, other things of that, CRT and other things like that. I think there are going to be a lot of movement on those issues in the Senate early on. And then we'll dig into some of the other issues that are more complex, frankly, that deal with, you know, education policy and school choice. That's going to be a complicated argument. Again, you know, I've been in favor of something as pure, if you will, as what Senator Stutz had, which was the Price Act, you know, kind of dipping our toe in the water and seeing if that would work and how it would work, understanding that there may be some things that we need to come back and fix and look at. But I think what's more likely to pass on school choice is something that is much more measured, has guardrails on it. You got to get to the point where you've got enough votes to pass legislation. And so we'll we'll do the hard work of working that out. But it is my hope that we have a gaming conversation early and then it's over. I do not want to spend, 4 months of my life talking about gaming yet again.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, Shane Stringer and I do a segment about once every 2 weeks, and I know this is something that the legislature would, if it had its way, and it goes out of its way to avoid, but it's been done in the past. Should the legislature start, like, saying to Aldott, and they use it as a political leverage, the governor's office does sometimes, transportation policy, infrastructure. Would you ever see a situation where the legislature could come in and say, no, you're going to build this road or you're not going to build this road, and that, you know, as a body, you would just do it through statute or by just brute force, rather than having like an all-powerful John Cooper type saying, hey, you want your road, you're going to do it my way, when you're the guys who control the purse strings?
So I certainly can see where Representative Stringer is coming with, and you and I have talked about my frustration with the State Department of Transportation, you know, going back to the I-10 bridge debacle and just how this administration has functioned, and even the previous administration under Governor Bentley has prosecuted, you know, transportation policy in the state, under Director Cooper. And so I can understand the frustration and where it's coming from. However, I think it's important to not design government functions based on the personalities of an appointee or a particular one elected official. If we start changing the way things work and rule by committee, which is essentially what would happen if you had the legislature setting transportation priorities, you could get yourself in a problem really quickly. And those could be as simple as, hey, you funded, $5 million of a $10 million road. Well, that's all well and good, but if you can't start the project because you don't have the rest of the funding or you didn't negotiate enough money in the process, you've got this money appropriated, but you can't finish the project. And so those types of things you run into with earmarks. I think what we need to focus on is getting a governor elected who understands transportation, can set clear transportation priorities based on empirical data and not some social Robin Hood, approach and where you're, where she may happen to be from and making decisions like that. And instead base these transportation priorities on actual need, actual traffic count, where the growth is in the state and how do we support that so that they can continue to be economic drivers for the rest of the state of Alabama.
Well, yeah. And ideally you're right, but I'm telling you, now, maybe this changes once Director Cooper's gone, but it's just like the state health officer having the absolute say in everything. And you face this, you went through the contract review and you put holds on the West Alabama corridor, but that's really all you do. It just kind of stops there. When you don't have it, and it just seems so tone deaf from Aldott, when you don't have a way to have leverage over a bureaucracy like that, that's where we're headed, it seems like. Now, we're probably a long way from that point, and maybe things get better under a new governor. But, what else is there to do?
Well, the other options are, a transportation commission. Representative Pringles had that bill year after year that sets long-term transportation priorities and executes those priorities and hires the transportation director. There are other states that do that. That could even things out a little bit. But it also, is more bureaucracy and keeps the governor and the governor's office from being as nimble and setting a priority and executing it quickly. That could be a good thing or a bad thing depending on, who's the governor at the time. And I come back to, we need to elect a governor and elected officials, whether they're county commissioners or mayors or the governor of the state of Alabama, who understand transportation, who will appoint people to lead our transportation department, who are focused on empirical data and can demonstrate that not only the need, but the efficacy for where your transportation dollars are going, and takes a business-like approach on return on investment for your transportation dollars. And listen, it's easy. In Representative Stringer's case, it's Highway 45. That's a no-brainer. Needs to happen. It's not Highway 43, which is the opposite of a no-brainer.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of people agree with that, but I just, when you feel like, you know, you're sitting in traffic on 65 in the middle of nowhere, and you're just, you know, the powers that be are just like, so what? Get over it. We're going to go, the governor flies her jet like 81 times between Montgomery and Birmingham. She's blissfully unaware of these tie-ups. And we got an ALDOT director who will just do whatever she says. I there's a frustration there. People look at it and they don't feel like they have recourse.
And I agree with you, and I share absolutely all of those frustrations. I will just tell you that at the end of the day, I think the solution is at the ballot box. I think the people need to understand and own that we have elected Governor Ivey, and the guy that works for her, John Cooper, she is very happy with, and he is doing exactly what she wants him to do. If we are frustrated, we're frustrated with our own decisions and our own leadership. I'm not sure changing the entire structure is the way to do that. We need to change the leadership.
Fair enough. Elections have consequences. Senator, we're out of time. We got to leave it there. But I hate to leave it on such a joyful note, but we'll do this again next week.
Well, look outside. It's beautiful. Enjoy the weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Borz Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I've done it many times. Somebody take me home through those Alabama